Welcome to Food for Thought. My name is Colleen Patrick-Gaudreau. I'm an author and educator dedicated to empowering people to make informed food choices, to debunking myths about veganism, to being a voice for animals, and to giving people the tools and resources they need to live according to their own values of compassion and wellness. I'm the author of The Joy of Vegan Baking, The Vegan Table, Color Me Vegan, Vegan's Daily Companion, and The 30-Day Vegan Challenge. You can learn more about who I am and what I do by visiting my website, www.compassionatecook.com. Hello, everyone. I hope you're well. I won't bore you with the details, but because of some changes we had to make to the actual podcast feed, I have a feeling the podcast isn't showing up automatically on feed catchers other than iTunes. I don't think I can do anything about it, so you might want to visit vegetarianfoodforthought.com to make sure that you can subscribe to the feed properly. I apologize for any trouble, and I apologize to non-iTunes users. It was an absolute nightmare moving the feed from FeedBurner, and I'll say no more. So just go to vegetarianfoodforthought.com so you can subscribe using whatever podcatcher you use other than iTunes. And thank you to all of you listeners and subscribers out there. And thank you to the Compassionate Cooks Club members. I hope you're enjoying your special recipes and posts and videos and gifts. I'm so grateful to you for your support. And I'm so touched by the emails I've received from you. So I want to thank Gold members Rachel Squires, Emily Huffstetler, Todd Pope, Sarah Bertels, Ronit Novak, Ellie McHale, Christopher Wolf, Melanie Jones, Jeff Katz, Sylvie Raquel, Tracy Provencio, Angela Colantonio, Michael Harris, and of course our platinum members Tim Anderson and David Cabrera and Alexander Gray. Here's a tip. Don't ever grab a handful of almonds before you record a podcast because they're caught in my throat now. So hopefully I'll be able to get through this without choking. Honestly, thank you to everyone for your support. It quite literally enables me to do this work, to focus on researching and writing and producing content in order to empower people to live according to their values, as I said. And based on the emails I receive daily and that our wonderful Bridie Reed is helping me to respond to, I think it's working. Here are just a couple. This one is from Gold member Sarah Bertels. Sarah typed me an email. I love getting letters like in the mail. It feels so old school. So Sarah actually wrote me a letter and said, "Dear Colleen, I feel this membership is long overdue as I started listening to your podcast about 8 months ago, which was the catalyst to my becoming vegan permanently. Although I've been vegetarian for almost 20 years and raised two of my three children as vegetarians, the third goes back and forth, I live in a small village in the English countryside with a meat-eating husband, and it hasn't been easy to progress beyond the rejection of meat. Yet I've always believed ovo-lacto-vegetarianism to be a morally difficult position to defend and have tried going vegan several times before. But without a support group, I found it difficult to stand up for myself and put others to the trouble," quote-unquote, she says, "of a common my quote-unquote dietary preferences. As a result, I always went back to eating eggs and dairy. Perhaps I just lacked the courage of my own convictions. In any event, and I know you will have heard this from others before, listening to your podcast, sometimes several times over when I'm feeling particularly insecure, strengthens my resolve to live my truth even when others regard me as difficult or extreme. And since going vegan again last summer, I have not looked back and feel stronger, happier, and more myself than I have in years. I have also discovered that when you make this sort of choice with obvious resolve and without apology, other people tend to respect your decision. I found it very easy being vegan this time. Restaurants hold no fear for me, and even my husband is supporting me fully. He's always been fully behind my vegetarianism and has now begun to really enjoy vegan dishes as well. He has a particular liking for your beet burgers. The next big step will be expelling animal products from the house altogether. I find it difficult to enforce my views unilaterally on the entire family, but I have told my husband how much it hurts me to have animal flesh and body parts in the house, and he accepts that I shouldn't have to endure that. I guess these things progress by a series of small steps, and not having to see meat in the fridge is a big one. Anyway, I know that I will never go back to eating animal secretions and have begun to feel increasingly empowered by finally living in a way I've always known to be right. I have you and your work to thank for that. So as I said, this membership really is long overdue. And then we communicated a little via email, and she just said, and I want to just honor this, she said, would you mind dedicating my contribution to my two vegetarian children? They are really amazing, choosing to go vegetarian when tiny and surviving with their principles intact and strengthened through their primary, secondary, and now tertiary education. I believe it has made them strong and extremely compassionate individuals who, because of their quiet, ordinary example, have touched many lives. My daughter Jill has just started university in Liverpool studying wildlife conservation, and despite a lot of teasing, has stood her ground and has even begun cooking frequent group meals, surprising her friends at just how good meatless food really is. My son Nick is tall, dark, and handsome, a great advertisement for vegetarianism. He's finished university and law school, and he's now working in London. He wears his vegetarianism as easily as a suit of clothes. They are my great pride and inspiration. For the record, I'm also very proud of my second son, Tim, for lots of reasons, but as he's not vegetarian, I can't include him in this one. Thank you so much, Sarah. Your words are just so moving, and I think a lot of people can identify with them, especially, this is really the crux of my work, when you are unapologetic and really embrace the joyfulness, the joyousness, the just amazingness of this lifestyle, people really respond very differently. So I think a lot of how people respond to us has to do with how we put it out there. So you are a walking testament to that. So thank you for sharing that with us. This letter is from Chris Wolf, who is also a Gold member. And Chris wrote, thank you, Colleen. I share my joy of veganism, respect, and compassion with everyone I meet. And when friends or family or strangers wish to delve further into this many-layered way of being in the world, without hesitation, I direct them to your books and podcast and website. Thank you very much, Chris. You and your work inspire me daily. Literally, I wake up and the first thing I do is read an excerpt from the Vegan's Daily Companion. What a truly beautiful composition. Thank you, Colleen. Thank you. My life has never been the same since I started listening to your podcast about 2 years ago. This is remarkably real, comprehensive, empowering, and deepening. Now that I've just moved into Portland, maybe I can find a way down to share in one of your talks. It would mean the world to me to thank you in person, and I hope this note finds you well. Much love and respect for the animals and for all of us, Chris Wolf. Thank you, Chris. That is so special. I can't tell you what it's like to imagine people waking up and reading my book the first thing when they wake up. So that is super, super lovely. And I thank you. If you would like to become a member, please visit CompassionateCook.com. Check out the different levels. Choose a level that works for you. We have silver, gold, and platinum. And I think the benefits are pretty cool. And so while the truth is your support is quite literally changing lives, as you just heard, these are just a sampling of the letters I receive. And I don't say that to boast. I say that because it's just amazing. And people really do want this information and they're making changes because of it. So in joining the club, you are quite literally supporting work that changes lives. But you also get some pretty cool things, I think. You get premium content that's made just for you, videos and recipes and posts and discounts. So I look forward to continuing to build a relationship with all of you and giving you what you need to make this world a better place. Darn it. That's what we're all doing. And thank you to all of you listeners as well. I'm very grateful for all of your support. Just listening is supporting this podcast. Now, I think I mentioned last time that I have a post on my website that lets you know about the podcast topics on my list. It's only a partial list, technically for 2012, but it may extend because it depends on which ones come first. But I also encourage people to make suggestions. And one of the suggestions was to do an episode on the popular paleo diet, which, as you hopefully know, I did. So I do listen. That wasn't on my list originally, but enough people had said, please do an episode on the paleo diet, which, as you know, I call the pasturbation diet. And I did it. And the other suggestion was to do an episode on vegan pregnancy. And I've heard about that for a long time. So this came at a good time. I'm working feverishly to complete and launch the online 30-day vegan challenge. It is going to be so fantastic. I can't wait to share it with you. It's going to be amazing. So I'm working hard to do that. And one of the days has information for vegan pregnancies, but I wanted it to be its own podcast episode. So here we are. Feel free to continue making recommendations for episodes. I can't make any guarantees, but I do want to hear what you have to say and what you're looking for. And please also leave comments and thoughts and questions for individual podcast episodes at CompassionateCook.com. So here we go. Let's talk about vegan pregnancy. As a disclaimer, I am not giving medical advice here, and it should not be a substitute for what your doctor says. But I do encourage you to bring this information with you to your doctor or your nurse practitioner or whoever you consult with your medical needs or for your pregnancy. And you can certainly confirm with them the research that I'm passing on, the experts that I'm using, and certainly what the government recommendations are, because that's pretty much what I'm giving here. My go-to expert for nutrition, by the way, is Brenda Davis at BrendaDavisRD.com. She is the author, the co-author of Becoming Vegan, and she is just one of my favorite people in the world, and I really trust her immensely. She vetted the 30-Day Vegan Challenge, all the nutrition information completely, so I just really appreciate and trust her work. Now, I hear from a lot of people, and I have been through a lot of friends' vegan pregnancies, who tell me about the kinds of responses they get from friends and family and strangers, which I'm sure is just amazing how bold people are. It's amazing what people think they can say to you just because you're pregnant, about, you know, how they feel about you being vegan and pregnant. And they wonder if I could, you know, do a podcast episode and how would I respond to that? How would I respond to someone saying, well, being vegan and pregnant isn't good, you're harming your baby, it's not healthy, you should start eating meat, etc. You know, how would I respond? The truth is, everyone already has a lot to say about how you should do things when you're pregnant, whether you're vegan or not. And I think anybody listening to this who's not vegan yet will agree that everybody has an opinion. It's really no different when you're vegan during this process. Everyone will have their opinion on what you need to do and will no doubt express concern about the fact that you're not eating animal flesh and animal fluids while your baby grows. Now, having said that, proper nutrition is, of course, critical during pregnancy, but that applies to vegan as well as non-vegan women. All the nutrients you consume support the growth and health of your baby. So being healthy and strong even before you get pregnant is key. Then by the time you conceive, you will be drawing from nutrient reserves and healthful habits that you've already established. So it's important that you don't wait until you're pregnant to start taking care of yourself and eating healthfully, which is why this episode is not just for the already pregnant or the soon to be pregnant. Start creating your healthy foundation now, today, whoever you are. And I think that happens a lot, is that people all of a sudden decide they're going to take care of themselves when they realize they're responsible for someone else. I mean, I understand the logic behind it, but you are important. You are important now to start taking care of yourself now, and not wait for someone else to come along that you are responsible for. Now, several studies provide solid evidence that vegan pregnancies are perfectly healthy for mama and baby, particularly when looking at the weight gain of the pregnant woman and the birth weight of the infant, which are two important barometers for determining a healthy pregnancy. Studies indicate that the vegan women that were studied in these studies, that the vegan women gained adequate weight during pregnancy, sometimes more than non-vegan pregnant women, and that the birth weight of their babies was totally normal, not affected at all, totally normal. The only studies that indicate lower birth weights in babies are those that saw pregnant vegan women on very restricted diets, either those that restricted calories or those women who followed a very strict macrobiotic diet, low in fat, which would translate to low in calories, right? Because fat has more calories, so they would take in fewer calories. But it's important to be clear that that's not the fault of being vegan. It's because the diets they were eating were too low in fat and too low in calories. But studies and experts looking at pregnant vegan women following a healthful, varied diet with all the calories and nutrients she needs to support her pregnancy have no reason to be concerned at all. Okay? Now, so often I've seen this scenario play out. A vegan woman becomes pregnant. Family members and friends begin expressing concern and offering opinions, which is inevitable and prevalent for non-vegan pregnant women too, as I said. The woman and her partner hold fast, they eat healthfully, they get all their nutrients, or at least the pregnant woman gets all her nutrients, and they have a beautiful, healthy baby. Said friends and family fall in love with said baby when they see all is well. Time goes by, baby grows healthy and fat and strong, and mama is vindicated. While she's breastfeeding, there's usually less alarm because obviously she's feeding the baby nature's perfect food. So they don't usually say much around that time, not as much, but she will indeed revisit this issue again when baby moves on to solid food. Now, we're going to stick with pregnancy and lactation first because there's enough to say about that before moving on to actually raising those little beans. But I do have a couple episodes. I have one episode on this topic, not really on specific nutrition for infants and children, but at least about it feeling empowered enough to raise your children vegan. I think it's children in social situations, I think it might be called. And there's another one on resensitizing children, and there's of course the one on teens. But we will return to, you know, the nutrition for children and infants, okay? But anyway, really, the truth is, and I've talked about this being the case just in general, just when anybody goes vegan, in time, people relax. They really relax. All you have to do is stand firm, do what you think is right, do it properly, obviously, you know, be a healthy vegan, and give people time. Most of the time, they're just expressing their concern for you because they love you. If you can remember that, I think it will help. Yes, everyone's also very opinionated when you're pregnant and really say the darndest things. But for those close to you, just as with non-pregnant vegans, try to remember that their concerns come from a place of love and sometimes from a place of not really knowing or understanding. And this might be an opportunity to explain or teach, to talk about the fact that the nutrients we need are plant-based, okay? So here are some of the things that all pregnant women need to be mindful of during pregnancy. And these are some of the things that you can pass on to your family members who might be concerned. So the first thing is calorie increase. Now, you don't have to eat for two by doubling the amount of calories you consume when you're pregnant. But it is recommended that pregnant women increase their daily calorie consumption by 10 to 15%, resulting in healthful, necessary weight gain. Depending on your current weight and frame, a recommended weight gain of between 25 and 45 pounds is to be expected, which might amount to adding 350 calories per day during the second trimester and by adding 450 calories during the last trimester. A few ways to gain weight by adding nutrient-dense calories include making healthful fruit smoothies with non-dairy milk, additional flax oil or ground flax seeds, a tablespoon of nut butter, obviously get some greens in there as well, and you'll yield about 300 to 500 calories depending on, you know, if you add the oil or if you add the butter or the nut butter or what kind of non-dairy milk you use, etc. But you can get 300 to 500 calories a day just by eating a healthful or drinking a healthful fruit smoothie. Eating one cup of cooked oatmeal, which is about 300 calories, plus one tablespoon of maple syrup or brown sugar or whatever sweetener you like. They're all the same calories, about 50 calories for one tablespoon, plus one apple chopped, which is about 70 calories. A tablespoon of walnuts is about 50 calories, and a tablespoon of ground flax seeds, about 50 calories or flax oil. And that oatmeal, that's about 500 calories right there with everything I just named. Increasing the consumption of nuts and seeds and their butters, as well as avocados. That's a great way to add some healthful calories. Eating high fiber, healthful baked goods, such as muffins and fruit crisps and cookies. So you can get healthful versions of these, obviously, or make your own in order to get some additional calories in you. So it's not that difficult to get 300 to 500 calories in you during the second and third trimester. As far as protein, the average size woman needs 45 to 50 grams of protein per day. It really depends on, again, her height and weight. Protein recommendations for pregnant and lactating women are 70 grams, again, depending on her weight. Here are some ways to add an additional 20 grams. So if you figure most women get around 45 to 50, she needs 70. Here are some ways to add an extra 20 grams. Half a cup of firm tofu is about 20 grams. Now, this may vary according to brand and texture, so look at the label. 5 tablespoons of peanut butter are 20 grams of protein, so make a PB&J. 3 ounces of peanuts, that's about 1/3 of a cup, is about 20 grams of protein, so add them to a salad or a noodle dish or a stir fry. 1.5 cups of cooked beans, which is a can, really. There's 1.5 cups in canned beans, so chickpeas or kidney beans or baked beans, pinto beans, refried beans, soybeans, lentils, or black beans. all about an additional 20 grams of protein. 3 ounces of seitan, which of course you know is wheat protein, provides about 17 grams of protein. So you can make a veggie stir fry with seitan and you're good to go. Okay. So that's protein. Iron. Iron needs are practically doubled from 18 milligrams a day for menstruating women to 27 milligrams a day for pregnant women. Okay. All pregnant women, not just pregnant vegan women. And these needs can be met by taking a supplement. You can see my recommended supplements at CompassionateCook.com under shop, under recommended supplements, where you can find prenatal vitamins. The experts whose opinions I respect don't think it's necessary for non-pregnant folks to take iron as a supplement, even in a multivitamin. But for pregnant women, it's almost always recommended. So get a good prenatal supplement and also revisit the information on the podcast I have for iron. This information is also updated and fresh in the 30-Day Vegan Challenge, so check that out. That way you can get a refresher about not only taking in iron-rich foods, but also about how to increase the bioavailability of iron. Remember, bioavailability is our body's ability to absorb the nutrients that we're taking in. So iron is one thing, or calcium is one thing, or any of the nutrients we talk about is one thing, but it's another to make sure we absorb those nutrients. And we can do that by pairing certain iron-rich foods or calcium-rich foods with a nutrient that increases that absorption. So in the case of iron, eating iron-rich foods with vitamin C increases the absorption of the iron. You know, consuming calcium, making sure we're getting vitamin D increases the absorption of calcium, etc. So go back and revisit those episodes. But basically, you want to get 27 milligrams a day of iron if you're pregnant. And it's also recommended that lactating women take in about 9 milligrams of iron a day. Now, iron needs drop when you're lactating to 9 milligrams, because when you're breastfeeding, you're not menstruating, and thus you're not losing iron. Just as a reminder, keep this in mind, it's recommended that nobody, not men, not women, not children, not pregnant women, not meat eaters, not lactating women, doesn't matter. Nobody should exceed more than 45 milligrams of iron a day. That's why the experts that I talk about don't recommend taking an iron supplement when you're not pregnant, because it's easy to go over 45 very quickly. So you don't want iron overload. Okay. So just eating a healthful plant-based diet will give everybody what they need. And doing those things I mentioned, eating iron-rich foods with things like vitamin C will give you all the iron you need. But pregnant women, check out a good prenatal vitamin, a multivitamin, multi-mineral supplement, and make sure you get 27 milligrams a day. Folic acid, or folate. Now, I think we may have talked about folate and folic acid before. I know I do talk about it a lot in Color Me Vegan, and in the 30-Day Vegan Challenge, I talk about it. But folate is the naturally occurring nutrient prevalent in green leafy vegetables. Remember, folate comes from the word that means leaf, like foliage, folio, Shakespeare's folio. They were pages on, you know, leaves. So folate is the naturally occurring nutrient prevalent in green leafy vegetables and other foods as well. Folic acid is the synthetic form of folate. The recommended daily allowance is 600 micrograms for pregnant women and 500 micrograms for lactating women. And like with iron, though nutrient-rich vegan diets provide plenty of folate, some experts believe that a prenatal multivitamin, multimineral supplement that contains folic acid is prudent during pregnancy. Some disagree. Consult with your physician. But for your information, here are some folate-rich foods to demonstrate how easy it is to meet the folate recommendations through food. So remember, 600 micrograms if you're pregnant, 500 micrograms if you are lactating. 1 cup of cooked lentils gives you over 350 micrograms of folate. 1 cup of cooked lentils. 1 cup of cooked pinto beans is almost 300 micrograms, 294 to be exact. 2 cups of romaine lettuce totals 150 micrograms. 4 spears of cooked asparagus have 85 micrograms. 1 cup of orange juice has 74 micrograms. And 1/2 cup of green peas equals 50 micrograms. So eating a, you know, nutrient-rich whole foods, plant-based diet, you get a lot of folate in there. Okay, so consult with your physician about whether you want to take folic acid during your pregnancy. It's up to you and your partner and your doctor. Zinc. The recommended intake for zinc during vegan pregnancy and lactation is about 15 milligrams a day. The prenatal supplement in my supplement store includes, I think it's 15 milligrams of zinc. Just a reminder about zinc-rich food sources, just to give you an idea. So you need 15 milligrams a day. 100 grams of toasted wheat germ provides 17 milligrams of zinc. So you need 15, you get 17 from just 100 grams of toasted wheat germ. 100 grams of cashews yields 6 milligrams. 100 grams of tahini offers 4.6 milligrams. And 1 cup of cooked chickpeas provides 2.8 milligrams. Okay. But most prenatal supplements will have zinc in them already. Calcium and vitamin D. Pregnant and lactating women should really just meet the daily value of 1,000 milligrams a day for calcium and the 15 micrograms, which translates to 600 IUs of the daily value for vitamin D. So 1,000 milligrams for calcium, 15 micrograms or 600 IU for vitamin D. You can review the past podcasts for more information on calcium and vitamin D, or you can check out the 30-Day Vegan Challenge. Vitamin B12. As I said when we discussed vitamin B12 many moons ago, if you remember, be sure to take a daily vitamin B12 supplement, whether you're pregnant or not. The RDA is 2.6 micrograms a day for pregnant women and 2.8 micrograms a day for lactating women. And vitamin B12 supplements, multivitamins, prenatal supplements will have substantially more than that. But remember, vitamin B, all B vitamins, including B12, is water soluble. So most supplements have way more than the RDA, way more than that 2.6 micrograms. But that's okay because it's water soluble, which just basically means that you pee out any excess. Okay. So 2.6 micrograms for pregnant women and 2.8 micrograms for lactating women. Essential fatty acids. Experts recommend that pregnant and lactating vegans take a direct source of DHA, aiming for 300 milligrams a day. These recommendations are based on evidence that DHA during pregnancy and breastfeeding improves brain function and vision in the infant. Return to the day we discussed omega-3 fatty acids. For a full discussion, you can also see the supplement shop for my favorite algae-based DHA supplement. Don't forget, the fish get DHA, the fish get their omega-3 fatty acids because they're eating algae. So algae is the source of these fats. Okay. So Dr. Furman, he has a wonderful DHA supplement. There are others too. Go find your favorite. I happen to like this one a lot. So it is recommended that vegan pregnant women and lactating women have a direct source of DHA, which is great. It's going to be really good for you and it's going to be really good for your baby. So those are the government and professional nutrient recommendations for pregnant and lactating women. And I'm sure those of you who are pregnant or going to get pregnant or are thinking of being pregnant or know someone who's pregnant and vegan will do all of your research and find lots of books and blogs to guide you through this journey. So I really don't feel like I can give you more. I feel like other people, other experts really will give you so much more, something much more comprehensive than I can give you in just a podcast episode. I want to refer you to them. So let me talk about some of these resources for you. I've read the last three of the ones I'm going to recommend. I haven't read the first two because they're specifically on vegan pregnancy and I've never been pregnant and I'm not going to get pregnant. So based on recommendations by others, I'm putting them on this list and you can decide for yourself if you want to check them out. They do have very good reviews on Amazon. I've looked and again, people have recommended these. The Everything Vegan Pregnancy book, All You Need to Know for a Healthy Pregnancy That Fits Your Lifestyle, is by Reed Mangels. I'm so sorry if I'm saying that name wrong. Mangels sounds good. M-A-N-G-E-L-S. You'll find it by just looking for the Everything Vegan Pregnancy book. It just came out in late 2011, so it's pretty recent. So that's one book I would recommend. The second one is called Vegan Pregnancy Survival Guide by Sayward Rebel, who is absolutely lovely, by the way. I know her and she is incredibly lovely and she can be found blogging at bonsaiaphrodite.com. That's B-O-N-Z-A-I Aphrodite, A-P-H-R-O-D-I-T-E.com. And so she wrote a book called Vegan Pregnancy Survival Guide, which is also very recent. There is Vegan for Life. So I've read Vegan for Life, Everything You Need to Know to Be Healthy and Fit on a Plant-Based Diet by Jack Norris and Virginia Messina. Not specifically on vegan pregnancies, but a lot of fantastic nutrition information in general, including on pregnancy and lactation. Love Jack, love Virginia. They're fantastic. I recommend them highly. So I do recommend Vegan for Life. Becoming Vegan, as I said, my go-to woman, Brenda Davis, and Vasanto Molina, who wrote Becoming Vegan, highly recommend that book. And The Complete Idiot's Guide to Plant-Based Nutrition is another uber lovely woman and friend, Juliana Hever. So I do recommend that as well. Again, it's not specifically on pregnancy and lactation, but she has a lot of information, and she's also been a pregnant vegan woman. So check that book out. Also, lots of good information in these books, not only about nutrition, but also about making pregnancy as comfortable and enjoyable and healthful as possible. For instance, morning sickness, again, not something I can identify with, but I've heard about it. And some of the recommendations in these books, I'll just give you some information because I think it's really helpful to just note here. For those of you who have been pregnant or are pregnant, you know better than anyone what this morning sickness feels like, and that it can occur any time of day, not just in the morning. What's recommended is that you eat frequent small meals throughout the day, because an empty stomach actually makes things worse. So keep food with you, which frankly I think is something we should all do anyway, just in terms of, you know, our energy level not lagging too much, even if it's just crackers. And crackers especially are helpful for pregnant women just because they tend to be pretty bland and easy on the system. Keep them with you at all times, including, they recommend, some of the folks in these books, including on your nightstand, so that you can eat immediately upon waking. Once you're awake and your body starts kicking into gear, it will want food, and eating before you get the hunger signal may help curtail the nausea. So that's one idea. Heartburn and constipation might also be discomforts during pregnancy. And to help ease the former, the heartburn, it's recommended that you chew your food well and eat slowly. Again, eat small meals throughout the day rather than a couple large ones. Avoid acidic or highly fatty foods. And to help with the latter, the constipation, be sure to eat lots of fiber, which you're already doing on a vegan diet, and drink lots of water. Really pay attention to the healthful foods that curtail the nausea. This is something you're going to want to do, because this is when it really comes down to kind of a case-by-case basis. Nobody knows better than you what feels right for you. But some of the more popular options include whole grain breads, dry cereals, potatoes, yellow or sweet potatoes or yams, fruit that's been cooked tends to be really good for nausea, mild soups, mild broths, a simple miso broth, a simple miso soup, or a simple vegetable soup. These are some of the things that they recommend for curtailing the nausea. If you're able to exercise during pregnancy, it really will help improve blood circulation. It'll keep your energy elevated. It'll help you manage your weight both during and after pregnancy, and it will help you sleep. There's even evidence that it contributes to an easier delivery and post-delivery. Walking is ideal, but many women continue to ride bikes, ride a stationary bike, or do yoga. So you know better than anyone. And again, I'm sure you're already tapped into this information, into these kinds of resources. Post-delivery, breastfeeding moms will still need to consume extra calories to provide those calories to your growing baby. Some women continue taking prenatal supplements throughout the first months while they're breastfeeding, but because iron needs decrease so much, it really is recommended that you take an iron-free prenatal multi at that point, because you need to reduce that iron back down. So those are some of the suggestions. You can find all of these books in my Amazon store. Just go to compassionatecook.com under shop. Yes, I get a little kickback from whenever you shop through my store, which is just helpful for me. I mean, these are books that I recommend. I only recommend things that I stand behind. I hope you know that by now. So if you're going to buy them anyway, you can use the link through my site and it gives me a little kickback. It's not that much, but it's, you know, every little bit, right? I also want to recommend Alicia Silverstone's blog. I've been over there for a number of things, and I really like some of the information she provides at thekindlife.com. She has a number of blog posts about pregnancy, as well as a Q&A with Dr. Holly Roberts. She's an obstetrician and a gynecologist, and she wrote the book Your Vegetarian Pregnancy. Now, Alicia, the book is not on vegan pregnancies, but it covers that too. And Alicia asks all sorts of questions on her blog related to vegan pregnancies and births and lactating moms. Okay? So that's all I got. I hope that was helpful. I really do. I think one of the reasons I delayed in doing this episode is, look, not only because this is not something I can identify with, because this is not an experience I have had, but not all the information I've given you has all been from experiences I've had. So I just certainly want to be your go-to resource for all things vegan. But I think also because I just feel like you know where to go when you make that decision or when you realize you're pregnant, is that you really do find the information that you need. So I really do hope this was helpful. I really hope it was. And at least, you know, maybe it was just helpful just to give you those resources to point you in the right direction to go find more information. Okay. So like I said, this content will be part of the day in the online 30-day vegan challenge called, I think it's called Special Considerations for Certain Groups. But you have your own special episode here. So I hope you enjoyed it. It's good to be with you again. And until we meet again, for the animals, both human and non-human, this is Colleen Patrick-Goudreau. Thanks for listening.